Welcome to back to Thursday's edition of World Football Daily. We did promise you a superstar guest coming on today, and it is, of course, Mr. Jonathan Johnson of French Football Weekly, talking all things Liga and, of course, PSG. Disappointment in the Camp Nou last night, and I'm sure Jonathan, of all people, is feeling a little hurt being an avid PSG fan himself. How are you doing, Jonathan, today, mate? You haven't got the noose out or anything like that. It's not been that heartbreaking for you, has it, last night?
No, not at all. No noose, and I haven't been doing weird things with my razor either. But it's a pleasure to come on, though. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you on, mate. We absolutely loved the debut. Had to get you back as soon as possible, and perfect timing. Maybe not the perfect scenario for you. PSG's performance last night, though, in the Camp Nou, something they can at least have their heads held high about, because I felt for a lot of that game they were the dominant side.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really heartening performance. I think they proved to a lot of people that they're not out of their depth at this level. And I think that Ancelotti has shown people that the squad that he, Leonardo, and Qatar Sports Investments have formed in such a short space of time at PSG, you know, is genuinely now a threat on the biggest stage. I think they, you know, they've, as Ibrahimovic said after the game, they've won a lot of friends with their performance. You know, people can be less cynical about them now that they've actually proven that they belong at this level of the competition. And I think that it was almost inevitable that it was going to happen. But PSG needed this sort of match, an experience of a game of this magnitude, to really see what it takes to win the competition in the future.
Now, I know we relate a lot of things back to English football, but when you compare, say, what PSG have done in just this kind of last couple of years or so, compared to someone like Manchester City, who've been spending big for a number of years and still unable to find success in the Champions League, how much does it show how big a factor creating some sort of team chemistry has been in this PSG side? Do you think that has helped, or do you think they're still lacking in that department?
No, I don't think they're lacking in that department as much as they were when the team was first put together. There's been a real development of that chemistry in sort of the last 10 games. I think they're finally understanding what Carlo Ancelotti wants them to do on the pitch. I think that is maybe the biggest factor in all of this, that, you know, they're finally buying into their coach's approach to the games, and they finally understand the system that he's trying to put in place. I think there is still an element of individuality to a lot of the way that PSG play. You know, there's some fantastic talents in that team, and it's impossible for them to play as a coherent unit for every minute of every match, but they're getting there, and I think they're closer to being the finished article now after that experience, you know, having had to fight for one another for 180 minutes across both legs of the match, but particularly the 90 minutes at the Camp Nou. And I think they can feel very proud of what they achieved and how far they've shown the project has been developing since the start of the season.
Jonathan, we've seen them play, I think, in Ligue 1, quite linear, very much a lot of their play coming down the middle for PSG. In the two games against Barcelona, we've actually seen them use the flanks quite a bit, especially in that first leg. Are you surprised at the versatility shown? Because for me, I don't think we've seen that sort of versatility from them until these two games.
Yeah, I think you see a different PSG side in Europe than you do on the domestic scene. I think it's a surprise for me that Ancelotti continues to play Pastore wide in Europe, especially. Obviously, he scored the goal at the Camp Nou, and I can't criticise him for that. But I think it's extremely frustrating to watch him play, because he shows a flash of brilliance like that, but then doesn't follow it up. He's not consistent enough in what he does, you know, for the rest of the game. He drifts in and out of matches, and that, I think the only way you can avoid that is not by playing him through the middle. And if you're playing Pastore wide, that means you're playing Lovetzi up top, and Ezequiel Lovetzi is a fantastic player, you know, full of industry, creates a lot of chances, but he is not clinical enough to be a striker at the highest level, I don't think. And I think it's much better suited using his pace from wide. And I think that's one of the things that potentially cost PSG at the Camp Nou.
Now, yeah, I wanted to come on to this because I don't want to sound too negative, but really, you got the feeling last night, especially when Messi wasn't on the pitch, that this Barca side was there for the taking. PSG squandered a number of chances. You mentioned there Lavezzi's not the man to play down the middle. Do you see them needing to invest more money to bring in somebody to play alongside Ibra up front to be more clinical in front of goal? Or are there players in this side that can be that player for them?
No, I mean, I think they have a lot of talent in the team already. Arguably, I think they need to bring in another prolific goal scorer, because it's quite obvious that Ibrahimovic sort of sees himself as a number 10 in Europe, whereas he plays as the main focal point of the team in the league. And you contrast his goal scoring stats from Ligue 1 to the Champions League, and he has far more assists in Europe than he does in Ligue 1, but he's scoring far more goals in Ligue 1 than he is in Europe. So I think playing him, you know, slightly more withdrawn and playing another player just up ahead of him would maybe be beneficial to Ancelotti's side next season. I mean, I think that there is talent in the PSG team, and there's already players capable of scoring those goals. And I think the team that did so well last night only needs a few alterations to go further in the tournament. I think PSG need more depth in the fullback positions, because they got overrun a lot of the times on the flanks. Christophe Jallet put in a magnificent performance. You can't fault his work rate, but he was obviously identified by Barca as, you know, the weak link, and they were trying to exploit that on the left-hand side at every opportunity that they had. And I think that maybe with a goal scorer, this PSG team can finally get the best of Ibrahimovic in Europe as well as in Ligue 1, and, you know, they could go as far as the semi-final, if not further, next season.
It's very easy for PSG fans and the players to say, oh, we've learnt a lot in this experience. But what exactly has been learnt in this European experience for PSG? Is it learnt that they can compete with the best? Is it that they've learnt that they're still missing a few extra pieces of the puzzle? Is it that they need to adapt their style of football more to play with the European big boys? What are the individual things that have been learnt by PSG over this fantastic run?
No, I think that the biggest lesson that they've learned from this run in the Champions League is what it takes to play for PSG and to succeed at the highest level. They now have an experience of, you know, arguably the biggest caliber of match that you can play in European football. I mean, you just looked at the reaction of some of the players while the Champions League music was playing before the match yesterday, and, you know, they were looking around at the Camp Nou, you know, almost absolutely in awe of the atmosphere that a match like that generates. And you cannot expect players to go into matches with experience until they've actually, you know, played in one of those matches for themselves. And there were so many players in that PSG side that had never played in a match of that caliber. And that, for me, is the most important lesson that PSG will take from this run in the Champions League. I mean, yes, they've learned some things about themselves where they're maybe more weak when they play in Europe, but they've looked very, very strong. And another thing they will have learned is that every player in that team raises their game when they're playing continental football.
Has this put more pressure now on Ancelotti for next season? Because it's very easy for Manchester City, say, who have failed in Europe on a couple of occasions now, to say this shows how tough the Champions League is. But with Ancelotti getting this PSG side this far and so close to the Champions League semi-final, will there be an expectation to get further next year?
I think there was going to be an expectation to go further next year, whether or not they made the quarterfinals and almost made the semifinals. The club's ownership is very, very ambitious. There's no way that they would accept not being competitive in the Champions League next season. They want to win the competition within 5 years. This is the end of year two of that ownership. So they have 3 more years to get themselves into a position where they feel that they're able to challenge for the Champions League. But as President Nasser Al-Khelaifi said yesterday, they're going to be challenging from next season onwards. Ancelotti's done fantastically well, fantastic to win over the critics, the people who were suggesting that he was going to leave and go to Real Madrid in the summer. You know, he's managed to win everybody over and show that he still has a desire to coach this team and can take them, you know, to where they want to go. Ancelotti has so much experience at this level, and that really showed. You know, he obviously instilled such belief inside of his players ahead of that game. And I think that now the benchmark has been set for PSG for next season. They've finally mastered the art of winning games in Ligue 1 and playing well in Europe. you know, they have managed to pull themselves clear of the chasing pack at the right time of the season, and that in turn has earned them the right to concentrate on the Champions League in recent weeks. And now they will go back, concentrating on domestic competition for the rest of the season, and will surely sew up the title and possibly even win the Coupe de France as well.
You mentioned, obviously, there's still a domestic season to be played, and it's not over and done with yet. On both fronts, in both Europe and in the domestic campaign, since his arrival in January, Lucas Moura has looked absolutely fantastic in a PSG shirt. And I don't just mean aesthetically. I mean, he's fitting so well to this side. Are you surprised how well he's taken to this, to the European game? Because, I mean, a number of people, including pundits that we've had on this show, have said that there's a lot of hype around this kid. Will he actually meet up to it? And he seems to be doing that.
He does seem to be doing it, but I think we'll also see the best of the likes of Lucas Moura and also the likes of players like Marco Verratti next season when they mature a little bit more. Yes, Moura has looked absolutely sensational at times in a PSG shirt since arriving. And like Verratti, the most surprising thing is he's played such a big part so soon. Yes, they both arrived for relatively large transfer fees, but they have also shown that they can play a part in this PSG project now. And next season, they will be key members of that PSG side. But with Moura, the most incredible thing about what he's done so far for PSG has been how he has adapted to playing in France in the domestic league, in the domestic cup, and then also playing in the Champions League. You know, coming from Brazil, completely different style of football and different continent. You know, he really already has the taste of playing in the biggest matches and really looks to be a fantastic prospect for PSG in the coming years.
Now, we do obviously still have the domestic season left to play. PSG with a reasonably commanding 7-point lead at the top of Liga. I want to talk, though, about Saint-Étienne, a side who have really put on an incredible run, unbeaten in 2013 so far.
Yeah, I mean, Saint-Étienne are playing some fantastic football. It's no surprise anybody who watches French football or has been watching French football over the last couple of seasons will know that Christophe Galtier has forged a very strong, entertaining side there. Slightly inconsistent, that's the most frustrating thing at the moment, but they have pulled themselves into a position where they could challenge for that third Champions League spot, arguably, in my opinion, even challenge for second spot. And it looks like the former glory days that Saint-Étienne were used to enjoying in the 1970s could be just around the corner if they can get themselves back into Europe's top club competition. A lot of that is down to the form of Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang. He's been absolutely superb. I think the only chance that Saint-Étienne have of keeping him this season is if they qualify for the Champions League, and even then it's still a big if. You know, he's chased by a lot of clubs all around Europe. Incidentally, PSG as well, and that would be a very interesting move if they play Ibrahimovic, but we'll have to wait until the summer to see if that happens. But there's so many players in that Saint-Étienne side, so many talented players, players who have been impressive at a Ligue 1 level over the last couple of seasons, and they've now gelled and formed a brilliant unit. And they're playing some sensational football at times. They're just lacking that bit of consistency. Although they don't lose many games, they tend to draw against surprising opposition. And that arguably has cost them the ability to challenge for the title again this season, as it cost them the ability to challenge for Europe last season. They'll definitely get a European position this time around, I think. But I'm confident that they can go further than that and actually qualify for the Champions League.
You mentioned there that keeping Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, and I apologise if I completely butchered the name there, is a big thing for them, and a very big if they can keep hold of him. It's something that crops up every year in French football, and Montpellier managed to keep hold of everybody apart from really Olivier Giroud, and then have lost in the January transfer market. How can Saint-Étienne keep hold of these players? Obviously making the Champions League, but does PSG's success in Europe help give French football a chance to keep hold of these players elsewhere around the league as well, with being able to say that you're going to be playing against PSG, one of Europe's elite, twice a season?
Yeah, I think it does. In a way, I think what would be more important now for Ligue 1 is that PSG start spending that money on players from their domestic rivals. For example, if PSG were to buy Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang in the summer, that would be a big moment for French football, because that shows that A, PSG don't see themselves as above their domestic opponents, but it would also mark Saint-Étienne being the first club in Ligue 1 to sort of recognise exactly what PSG can offer French football clubs in the future, and that money will then start trickling down gradually throughout the rest of the league, and that is when PSG's European success will start benefiting those sides. I mean, for example, PSG have been courting Etienne Capoue, the French international midfielder who's been linked a number of times with Arsenal and other big European clubs, and they're quoted double the price than nearly every other club are quoted when they make an inquiry about him, because it's PSG, because the clubs know that they have this money. And I think if French teams are slightly more intelligent with the way that they go about doing their business, you know, they can still get absolute top dollar for their best talent, but they still wouldn't price PSG out of moving for them. And that, for me, is the crucial the crucial thing that will impact on how PSG's success in Europe then translates domestically.
Jonathan, though, football is such a short game, and I'm just playing devil's advocate here, it's such a short-sighted game at the moment. Won't that just lead to PSG pilfering all the small sides' quality talent from French football and creating that gulf between themselves and the rest of the league and making it even bigger?
No, I don't think so, because they've already brought in a lot of talent from outside of France who will arguably dominate, you know, the majority of that team still. But what they need to do is they need to complement the talented players that they already have with a number of domestic talents as well. I mean, you see there's so much international quality in that PSG squad already. Mamadou Sakho, Clément Chantal, Blaise Matuidi, you know, three fairly regular French internationals, and Christophe Galtier as well. You know, he's become a regular fixture right back under Didier Deschamps. And those players are, you know, still considered an important part of PSG's identity, and they need to keep those players and keep playing those players. But I don't think that bringing in another couple of French players to replace some of the older guard that will likely leave in the summer, you know, players like Thiago Motta, who, fantastic as he is when he plays, just is not fit enough to be considered a real integral part of this PSG project anymore. So I don't think that PSG will pilfer the competition in Ligue 1, as you said, to the extent that you'd think they would, or, you know, to the extent that we saw with Manchester City and Chelsea in the Premier League when they got taken over.
What does Saint-Étienne need then to challenge Marseille for this second place spot in Ligue 1? I mean, we've seen Aubameyang, as you say, he's been quality up front, but he's not getting as much support. It's really the defence. It's the second best defence in French football at the moment that's been kind of hogging the headlines for Saint-Étienne, aside from Aubameyang. Is there anybody you can see stepping up to be that other striker, that other key role going forward for them?
I mean, you have Brandao, who's done a fantastic job as Aubameyang's foil at times this season. And you also have Yohan Molo, who has looked great when he does play since he's joined on loan from Nancy, and looks like he will turn that move into a permanent one come the end of the season. I don't think Saint-Étienne really need to improve that much in order to oust Marseille. The biggest problem with Marseille and Lyon challenging PSG for the title this season has been that they are not consistent enough in their results. Every time PSG have given them a chance to retake top spot, they've failed to take it. I mean, look at Lyon. Lyon have now fallen away massively, and, you know, not even in third place anymore, now in fourth, and, you know, arguably out of the title race after three, you know, really bad results have cost them. And Marseille have been the same. It really flatters Marseille to be in second place at the moment. I can't see them staying there, even if Saint-Étienne still keep dropping the odd couple of points with draws here and there, because Marseille just won't win enough games up until the end of the season.
Just quickly then, Jonathan, what about the turnaround at Lille as well? A side that were floundering in the middle of the table halfway through the season, really putting on a strong run in the second half of the year, and have really pulled themselves out of the problems that they had with the new stadium and unable to get wins in it at the beginning of the year, and that awful Champions League campaign as well. But now it's really starting to click for them. What's changed over the last few months for it?
I think they're just finally moving out of the shadow of Eden Hazard. It was such a difficult thing for them to do. And, you know, they're also finally learning to play without a reliable goal scorer up front. They missed Moussa Sow for so long. And I think now everything's looking a little brighter. Rudy Garcia has made it clear that he intends to stay at Lille for the foreseeable future. That's a massive boost for the club. Salomon Kalou, who has brought in for big money over the summer, is finally starting to find the net. Dimitri Payet has found form this year and has been absolutely sensational, fully deserving of his recall to the French national team. And I think Lille will now be boosted by the fact that they're already making plans for next season, and everything seems quite bright looking to the future. But they're also now happier playing together on the pitch once more. They're getting players back from injury, and they're playing with a bit more confidence again. They got a few unlucky results at the turn of the year, but in the last couple of weeks they've really started grinding out some important victories, and then they just go and explode with a 5-0 victory at home to Lorient, where they were 4 goals up by half time. And I mean, there's always been potential in that team to play some fantastic attacking football, but they have lacked the consistency necessary to really challenge for a top three position. They're showing it now, and it's probably not too late to claim a top three position and potentially a qualification spot for the Champions League. It wouldn't surprise me if they and Saint-Étienne were, the other two and that made up the top three come the end of the season, along with PSG. But I think the most positive thing for Lille will be looking forward to next season, knowing that they have one of the absolute sensations of Ligue 1 this season in Florian Thauvin playing for them next year, because he looks like he will be sensational for them.
And Lille taking on Marseille in a huge game on Sunday evening in Ligue 1. Jonathan, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you back on the show once again. We always enjoy getting new faces, and it's a pleasure to have you joining the WFD family, mate, and we look forward to getting you back on as soon as possible. And have to say, hard luck for last night, mate.
Thank you. Well, thanks a lot for having me on, and it was an absolute pleasure, and I hope to speak to you again before the end of the season.
Always a pleasure to get you on. Jonathan Johnson there from French Football Weekly joining us here on World Football Daily to talk all things Liga. And of course, Jonathan, a big PSG fan, and will be taking last night's defeat. I still think he might have taken it a little bit to heart. I can imagine him sat there in his flat in Paris with a few bottles of red wine kind of scattered around him from the night before, if you will. It really was crushing for PSG. I thought they played exceptionally well, especially for the first hour or so in that game. And it was only once Lionel Messi came on and Barca kind of kicked into gear a bit once again, and we saw a little bit of the Barca that we know and enjoy watching. And it was just unfortunate. I said yesterday I kind of wanted PSG to go through last night. Didn't happen whatsoever. We do have, though, Europa League football coming up tonight. We'll be giving our predictions on the big games taking place. We're also going to be having a look back at some of the other news from the last 24 hours or so in the footballing world. We'll be right back here on World Football Daily in just a moment.